Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, I'm joined by Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. China is now an escort, and she has a price. It's only 10K for the full day or 30K for the weekend, which is, by the way, they should specify what weekend is. It's only 2 days, so technically Saturday and Sunday, not Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, well, that sucks. I mean, I had 30K ready to go. I mean, after all, it is, Andy, it is China.
I know.
She is a hot, come on, ninth wonder of the world, dude.
I know, and who wouldn't want to, you know, spend a weekend with her? I mean, it would be awesome. She puts on the IC belt and the women's belt. I mean, it would be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Look, I would love a night in China. Let me tell you what, all
you
right?
You would like a
one night in China.
You definitely would like that. Now, here we got a big rumor mill right now. Supposedly, the WWE is only going to run 4 to 5 pay-per-views starting when they start the network. This is big news because we actually talked about this, saying, hey, wouldn't it be cool if they only ran 4 to 5 pay-per-views and that's it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm actually excited about this, and I'm hoping that they actually go through with this because this would be a big deal. That means if you have the WWE network, hey, there's a pay-per-view. You can watch it now, and I think that would be just perfect.
I absolutely agree with you, Andy, about that. I think that, you know, running 5 pay-per-views a year would be great. Now, the others would be ran on the network, so they would still be pay-per-views,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they would still run, 13 pay-per-views, but there would be only 4 to 5 of them that would actually air. But the thing, when you think about this, is King of the Ring is usually done on a Raw. You can actually run this on the WWE Network and actually have a real King of the Ring, which would be really, really cool. So I'm actually looking forward to this. Let's see what ends up happening. Now, John Morrison is actually asking only $5,000 per appearance, which is high because Shane Helms isn't that much.
Only five grand. You know, and the thing is, too, while he is worth it, he definitely is worth $5,000.
But what is he going to wrestle under, though? Because he can't use Morrison or John because WWE owns both those rights and they own John Morrison. He can wrestle as John because, seriously, there's no way you can get around that. But
well, his
yes.
name is John, too.
Yes.
He can't wrestle under Morrison or Nitro.
That's right. I was just going to say that. Yeah. So he can't wrestle under those two, but they can say WWE is John Morrison. But like I said, dude, I think he's only going to do a handful of dates here and there for some big indie places. Nothing that'll probably be on DVD, but I see him coming back to the WWE by WrestleMania. So we're going to talk about something that we haven't talked about in a long time, and that's WWE superstars. And why is this, Aaron?
I have no idea, Andy. Absolutely no idea. Why do you want to talk about superstars?
Because there were some great matches. We had Air Boom came back, of course.
Yeah.
And then they lost. So, but they were on there, but they didn't lose the tag titles. They're still champs. But Jack Swagger and Alex Riley had probably the best match I've seen on superstars ever. Mm. I mean, I think we said that about one other match, but this was the match. This was the match that you're like, why wasn't this on Raw? And I think I know why. I think they're going to start pushing certain wrestlers to superstars only. And when it's on the WWE Network, that way there's more of a reason to watch it because they'll have quality matches.
Yeah.
And I think that the WWE Network overall will do good. I've actually thought this through. NHL Network does good. NBA does good. Shoot, even Tennis Channel is good, if that tells you anything. So I'm looking.
And, I wouldn't mind this either. I think that the big thing here is that you have these superstars that you put on to superstars, and then you can build them up that way,
It's almost like FCW. Like you have an FCW that's going to be broadcasted, but it's the guys who are already, up onto the main stage right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
But yeah.
Now, Andy, let's get into Raw. We had a 3-hour Raw. It was all about the slammies.
Why was this 3 hours, by the way? That's what I can't figure out.
Because how many matches did they have? I think they had two, right? Is that correct? They had only two matches? No, they had three. Three matches that I can remember. The Fatal 4-Way, which was great. The tag team. And then Cena versus Del Rio, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he faced, right? No, yeah. He faced Mark Henry.
Okay.
And those are the ones I can think of that they had. I don't think they had any other ones. They might have. But 3 hours, three
yeah,
matches.
They could have done this. They could have done this in two. And that see, that's why I think when they run to the – I'm going to keep bringing up the WWE Network because I think it's a genius idea. I think what they'll start doing is they'll have this – they'll have something like this first, and then you switch over to USA. Mm-hmm. That's what I think they'll start doing, which is, I think, better because then you get hardcore fans. They watch it on that, and then they go to USA.
Yeah, like have a pre-show type thing.
Yeah, and like, you know, as wrestling – I could talk hours about the WWE Network. But anyways, let's move on to the Triple H and Nash are feuding. And
well, yeah,
the thing is, at first, when they the first script of this, Triple H wasn't even going to appear, which I thought was very interesting. Now he's there.
What did you think? I mean, are you excited for the feud?
No. Triple H just wants to be. He's him and Nash are just there. They're just there. That's all that's going to happen. I could care less about this.
So, I mean, like, because we actually get to watch the pay-per-view together because I will be in your neck of the woods.
Yes.
So we have the pay-per-view that we'll watch together with a few of our friends. So that should be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So when this match comes on, I mean, are we talking like, all right, like, let's just order some food. Let's, you know, bathroom break, you know, smoke them if you got them. I mean, what is this match going to be?
Well,
you?
Since I'm basically the only one that smokes, I'll probably go out there by myself. And then I think everyone else will just kind of come with me and be like, yeah, everyone's out for a smoke support. Break. Let's see. You guys don't smoke. I'm the only one. Okay. You know, that's what's going to end up happening because no one's really going to care about this. And then the funny thing is by the time we get done, we're going to come in and be like, oh, someone already grabbed the sledgehammer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boring.
I like the idea of the match since it is a ladder, but it's not like a true ladder match. I like that. But at the end of the day, they did a really poor job of building this feud. I mean, a really poor job. And I think that's something that needs to be pointed out. Yeah, they've had this feud before, and I understand that. And, you know, it's one of those things where normally I would, you know, kind of nag on that.
Mm-hmm.
But this feud didn't even need like build it up better. Build it up better. That's all I got to say about that.
No, yeah, they could have. The other thing also that I don't understand is, who is Cena facing at the pay-per-view?
Yeah, we talked about this last week, and I was for certain that they were going to throw him into that title picture somehow. But instead, they didn't. You know, he had his match against Mark Henry, and, you know, I was thinking, okay, somehow, like, you know, he wins, and then he can be in that match. Maybe he'll be in Zack Ryder's corner. Or, you know, the big news, which is Kane returned wearing a mask. People were talking about Kane versus Cena. But, Andy, they didn't advertise this match.
No.
This is a match that would be thrown together at the last possible second.
And why? And Kane has to go over. Why would you do this now?
Yeah. And on top of that, too. Okay, so when you have a pay-per-view, you are advertising, and people are going to pay to watch it, right? So we are paying to watch Triple H versus Nash, CM Punk in a triple threat TLC match. We're paying to watch Cody Rhodes and Booker T. You know, these are matches that actually, you know, we'd be paying for, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we would want to pay for the Cena match, too. You can't just throw that on there. You have to tell people that this match is happening. Otherwise, you're going to lose buys. So I don't think that can happen. I really don't think that can happen. But I don't know. Do you think that they'll face?
No. I think they might have something where, you know, he's backstage and says something and then, you know, something happens. You know, Kane beats him up or something like that. I could see that, but that's kind of where it stops. But the other thing we should probably talk about, which I don't understand still, is the fact that that Kane came back wearing the mask, okay? We already discussed that. But the real reason why, it's because they want to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for having the most costume mask worn at an event.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it's the 2005, it was in 2005, I think the original one is, and that's a Chicago White Sox where they had luchador masks, where they gave all those out. I mean, I could see it. I could see them basically taking Sin Cara, Rey Mysterio, bring back Hurricane, and also Kane coming back with masks. Who am I missing someone?
Well, I mean, you obviously have a Rey Mysterio with Sin Cara. Maybe Unico puts it back on. I don't know, maybe bring in Conan with a mask. He used to have one, so bring him back. Mr. America, bring him back. I mean, like, you know, I don't know. I think that it's a dumb idea. I actually like him back with a mask. I know a lot of people were kind of like, oh, why? Well, you know, it's a different evolution. It's like when he first arrived and then when he took off his mask. I mean, those are two completely different points in time in his career. And now he has the mask back on. So it's like a third chapter, which I like.
And by the way, how did he grow his hair out so fast?
Oh, it's pretty obvious what that is. So, Eddie, let's move on to SmackDown. So Rhodes and Daniel Bryan Danielson have been trading wins for a few weeks now. Is the WWE doing something right here by putting Cody Rhodes into multiple feuds again?
I think that you should always be in at least two feuds. I think one should be a major one, one should be a minor one. And I think some way, somehow, you can always make it so the minor becomes the major and the major is over with. You've already had that pay-per-view, you know, you already had that match set up, that feud. I think what they're doing with Cody is really good. And plus, Cody's one of those weird people that he can pretty much get into any feud, and I'd probably watch it. Like, even if he was to start feuding with Wade Barrett here in the next few months, I could get into it. I think it would be a good idea. It's just the way it's set. I mean, I think the writing on this is a lot better than Raw. I think I've actually been watching a lot of SmackDown now, post Impact, but or Raw for that. But I think the writing has been better. And I think they're working with what they have. I think they had two more big heels and like one more big face, it'd be different. That's why I hope Jericho, when he comes back, will be on SmackDown. Which, by the way, they did run his promo on Raw, and supposedly he's coming back January 2nd. I forgot about that.
Well, Jericho would come back on Raw. I mean, he wouldn't come back on SmackDown.
But he'd come back definitely on Raw, which is supposed to be on the 2nd. So, hopefully it's him. I think it's going to be Shane Helms. I think it's Shane Helms coming back. He's going to be doing the Sugar Gang, the Sugar Shane. So Epico and Primo, they're going to be a tag team.
Yeah, they've been tagging now. And apparently having Sin Cara out is actually good for Epico and Primo. Because obviously Primo have been doing, you know, God knows what. And having these two together, it's actually a fairly decent tag team. You know, they took on the Usos this week. If they still had the Hart Dynasty together and then the Usos, and if you put Air Boom as a actual tag team, you say that these are a tag team, they're going to stay a tag team. We're not going to put them into singles feuds. You know, you have four people right there, or four teams. You know, you add a couple more in there here and there. I think that would be a smart thing to do. It would help energize their tag division. So I like these two together. It's funny because SmackDown, we criticized it so much last week because it was boring and stupid. And this week it was actually pretty good. I mean, they had some good wrestling. They had some lull points like every program always does. But this I'm very happy with.
Yes. And, you know, like this next one was pretty interesting. So Swagger gets pwned sauce by Big Show. Is he a stepping stone is the best way? Actually, right now, I think Jack Swagger is your stepping stone.
I actually think of him more as a jobber right now, to be honest.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he is technically. I mean, he wrestled Alex Riley, but Alex Riley needs to be back. I mean, he's still over. That's the thing. It showed in Superstars of all things. He's over, so he has to be. He would be over on Raw, and I think that's where he belongs. And you know, Swagger, yeah, he got the. I understand why he got the win on Superstars, but then you put him on SmackDown, and you're like. You know, why? What was the point of this?
Well, I think that they really missed an opportunity with Riley. And, you know, the thing with Riley, he was so hot because he beat The Miz, who is now the number one heel on Raw. You know, he is one of the top guys, you know, over there. So you have this guy who beat him, and now you throw him on Superstars? No, you missed a huge opportunity in capitalizing on his success. And I don't think he should have won the U.S. title by any means. But you put him in those feuds, you know, and you put him in some other ones. And the thing is, I'm not a big A-Rod guy. I'm not. But, you know, I still see a golden opportunity, and I would seize it. So, I don't know. I think that they might have made a mistake. And something else I wanted to ask you, Andy, speaking of mistakes, is that Zack Ryder wrestled in the main event of SmackDown. He wrestled with Randy Orton. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that Ryder has earned this, or do you think that he's been pushed too fast?
I think the way they've pushed it, I think, has been a little too fast. They could have waited a little bit longer to do this. But I'm also happy at the same time, if that makes sense, because Zack Ryder, I mean, he was doing, basically they gave him a crappy character. And they said, hey, we're going to give you this cheesy theme song. All right, now figure it out. So he's like, fine, I'm going to start on the internets. He gets on the internets, puts out the video. People start holding signs up because they want to be on the video that he has on YouTube. And then now everyone, you see, there's tons of Ryder signs because they're like, hey, we might be able to get on.
Obviously you think that he has, like, he's deserved it in one way. Like,
in that way, yes. Do I think that he needs to change his finishing move? Yes. I think that right away, because the Rough Rider, you know, it's a weird, it's certain people can take it right. But then when you start having people like Mark Henry,
yeah,
they're not going to take it right. I think that if he had a kind of a quick move, I wish he had the Diamond Cutter or the RKO. I wish he was doing that, because I think he'd be a good one for it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm happy for him. I think he took a crap character and made it into something.
And I agree with that, too. I really do. He definitely took a crap character, made it better. I do think that putting him in a main event match isn't a bad idea. But you got to be careful, because if you push him too quickly, I think you'll get a Swagger or a Sheamus effect. Because Sheamus is a former, he's a two-time WWE champion. And now he's an upper mid-carder over on SmackDown, which I think is great. I think he's doing really great stuff over there. But then you have someone like Swagger, who won the World Heavyweight Championship from Jericho. He beat Chris Jericho. Mm-hmm. He beat The Big Show. And now Jack Swagger is your jobber on SmackDown. And so you got to be careful about this stuff. You can't push him too quickly, because then the fans don't understand that, oh, you know, this took so long to get here, and it's such a big deal now that he's in this picture. So I'm very happy, but don't do it too quickly.
Yeah, I think the approach they've been doing is pretty good. Also, we're not going to talk about the WWE, the show they did for the troops. Nothing really special. It's just wrestling. It was just some matches and people saying, you know, support the troops, which of course we do. And a bunch of them are actually going to be coming home for Christmas, which is awesome. But that's all that really happened. It's just matches that everyone wanted to see.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's move on to HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, you're not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, one-click script installs, and a free site builder with the best control panel out there. Stop by today to try a free demo out to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at every web hosting cost. Now we got to talk about the impact. We got to talk about TNA's final resolution. Mm-hmm. You know, good pay-per-view. RVD beats actually Christopher Daniels.
In the opening match.
Which was weird as an opening match that you would have this. But I guess he gives you Daniels to kind of hang out afterwards for the rest of the pay-per-view, which is what the rumor was. That's all he did. But
I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed in this.
Really?
Really disappointed. I thought the match was not as good as it was last time around. And I thought the other thing, too, is that Christopher Daniels should have gone over. Because now he kind of looks like a wuss. It's almost like the Christian effect. Yes, RVD is a legend, and he is a great wrestler. You know, he's definitely put in his time. Let him get somebody over. Have Christopher Daniels get over. Have a heel win. Because you know what? Have him win by holding on to the ropes. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Have him do that. You know, like, have him win by pulling the tights. Something stupid. You know, yeah, it'd be like, oh my God, he won by that. Kind of dumb. But at least he won. I think that this hurts Christopher Daniels' character. I think that this takes him down a couple points, in my opinion. And I really think the RVD, yeah, you know what? He's not the one booking it. But, you know, he should have been like, well, I mean, what are we planning on doing here? Like, so Christopher Daniels is just going to keep losing to me? Like, that doesn't help him out at all. In fact, that doesn't help build up other characters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I don't know. When I watched this, I don't even explain it. I was happy, but I was also sad, like, just for the simple fact that they could, like you said, actually you do it. What you said is exactly what should have happened. Grab the tights, grab the rope, something arm underneath one of the ropes, and you can continue. Not the way it ended. I did like the way how the Jeff Hardy, Jeff Jarrett match went. By the way, you're right. Jeff Jarrett being gone for a while and coming back, I was actually happy to see him.
Yeah.
I was actually happy.
I think they did a great job with that. I really do.
Yeah, it ended up being a really good match. It was a cage match. I thought the way they did it was pretty cool. I like the fact that, you know, Sting was out there as well with Karen and all that. I was just happy Jeff got the win. That's all. That's what I was happy about. Got
you know,
the win.
You know, Jeff did, Jeff definitely got the win.
I guess. Okay, so you got two double. You got two J E double Fs in there when Hardy got the win. So he is actually the new number one contender. I'm excited for this.
Well, very, very predictable. Like we knew that this was going to happen because you're not going to have, you know, Robert Roode win and then have him take on Jeff Jarrett. That'd just be weird. So having Hardy win, I'm fine with this too. I think that it's going to be great. I think that these two are going to have a really good match, and which we'll talk about in a little bit for Impact Wrestling. Before we get into that match, though, Kurt Angle, he lost cleanly to the Cowboy James Storm. What did you think of this?
I remember someone came out and said, "Who's James Storm?" I can't remember which wrestler it was, but they actually said that. And I was like, you know, you're kind of right. I think it might have been Jericho, actually, that said that. I don't know, dude. I think I've been thinking twice about this. He shouldn't have the title. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I like Kurt Angle. I see that what he tried to do for James Storm.
And Kurt Angle, I'll tell you what, he's a man about the business. He was like, yeah, I have no problem losing.
One thing you can actually say about certain, you know, people in the business, you can tell people who they will never kick out no matter who it is. Like Goldberg kicking out against Bret Hart. Still bothers me. But the one thing you can actually say about Angle, he's never done that. He'll sit there and take it. He's a team player. Guys who are team players, that's why people love him.
So, yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know why they did the whole draw with Robert Roode and AJ Styles. I mean, I guess I do. I think I called this last week. They're going to do the draw, and then they have to face each other again.
Mm-hmm.
So this will continue the feud. I'm wondering what they're going to do, where they're going to go from.
Well,
here.
In a way, because obviously Hardy's now in the picture. You know, they fought in the Iron Man match to a draw. I think they both had four apiece, I want to say. I could be wrong about that. But, you know, I mean, it was a good match. It was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the end there, you were thinking, okay, how is AJ going to get that extra point in? What's he going to do to get that extra point? And then he wasn't able to. And then it was like, okay, you know, I mean, like, yeah, it kind of sucks because it's a little formulaic, but wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I mean, overall, I mean, it was, yeah, I thought it was kind of predictable. It was actually very entertaining how they did that. I mean, it was really good. I mean, the pay-per-view overall, it was definitely worth it. Even though we didn't like the first match, but you know, or I did, but you didn't. So anyways, let's move on to Impact Wrestling. So how do they follow up, you know, the pay-per-view? Well, they're giving love to the tag division, which we'll see how long this is going to last.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of excited about it because you can give giving wrestlers some time off, I think, is tag team. So like certain tag teams, I think they're doing it because either one's hurt and you can kind of hide that.
Yeah.
But I also like the fact that they're giving them love. So we might see hopefully some tag teams form. You know,
They're doing a wild card tag tournament, which means that they're putting people together who normally wouldn't be together. Mm-hmm. For example, like Abyss and Scott Steiner, who don't like each other right now, but they're together. You know, they're doing stuff like that. It's interesting. And as you said, they may put together a team that might work. And so I like that idea. I think it'll give Samoa Joe some on-screen time. Maybe, you know, him and his partner may have some tension. That's a good idea. Maybe put AJ in with somebody else. You know, maybe that'd be, you know, maybe he doesn't go for the X Division title. Maybe he goes for the tag title. That might be a good thing to do too. So I think that this is good right now. We'll see how they execute.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The other thing also, Jeff Hardy, he beats Bully Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what the point of that much until Robert Roode comes out and beats him up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and they're trying to basically make Hardy the super underdog here. I like the dynamic with Robert Roode and Hardy. And even though Hardy is a former TNA champion, he's a former WWE and World Heavyweight Champion. Mm-hmm. It's funny because he like they really are painting him as being this lower guy who was just trying to finally win the title, even though he's already held it. He held it earlier this year. But they're doing a really good job of painting him in that way. I think that Hardy, Robert Roode, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I think it could be something really, really great.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. So we need to move on to our weekly topic. It's going to be the Off the Mark Awards of 2011.
Yeah, we did this last year. We did it around the time of the Slammies also.
Yeah.
I know next week we're going to be talking about our predictions that we made for 2011. And then the I know the next show that we do, we're going to do predictions for 2012, which is going to be a lot of fun. I have mine actually already ready to go. But
I will get mine ready, believe me. I will be ready this time.
Just like we're going to talk about the pay-per-view revenue show.
The what?
Remember, you've been wanting to do the pay-per-view revenue for like quite a while now.
Okay, that should be one of those things that, yeah, I do the pay-per-view revenue and, you know, the prices on how they increased. Which, honestly, dude, if I can find a better let's just move on to the awards, dude. I don't want to talk about it. You're just making me mad.
Off the Mark Awards for 2011.
And by the way, before we start, I just want to say if anything major happens at TLC, I'm going to change one of them. So we'll just see.
Okay.
If something happens.
Andy, what is the best DVD of the year for you?
The True Story of WrestleMania.
Ooh. Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting. Mine is the top 50 OMG moments. Because it was a lot of fun. Countdowns are always enjoyable.
I forgot about that DVD. Yeah, that was a good one. I like how the fact that when the ring broke recently this year, that they're like, it's never been done. And then you put that DVD in, you're like, oh, look, it just happened.
Yeah. So now the next award is Fallen from Grace,
okay,
Wrestler.
You need to explain this. Does that mean like
a wrestler who was on top of the world, someone who was great. Like last year, mine was AJ Styles. Yours was Matt Hardy. You know, it was somebody who was in the spotlight, a main eventer, you know, or a main guy, someone who was really big in the wrestling world. And now they're not nowhere to be found, but maybe they've sunk, you know, like a Jack Swagger, for example, would be, you know, a legitimate one. Who is your Fallen from Grace?
See, okay, now I'm going to have to change mine because I thought I was going to use Alex Riley, because he was there.
Oh, that's not a bad one.
Is, I'm going to have to say again, Matt Hardy. I mean, all the stuff that's happened to him outside of the ring. I mean, that's the worst one. I mean, that's who I feel the worst for. Alex Riley do feel bad, but he also got hurt. But he also, you know, got rid of his DUI problem. But, you know, that happened to him. But I also think Matt Hardy, what's been happening to him, he comes back, he looks happy, then all of a sudden he does the same crap.
Yeah. And his is more personal. Mine is John Morrison, so JOMO.
JOMO.
And that one, you know, it's pretty obvious there just because, you know, of everything that's happened. It's unfortunate. You know, it really is. Last year, like mine, last year, ours was more about like they definitely fell out of the wrestling spotlight. This year, both of ours are more personal reasons why they fell out.
That's correct. Also, the underrated wrestler of the year goes to Zack Ryder for me.
Really? I'm surprised by that. I don't think that he's been as underrated as of late, but this is a year-long
thing.
You know, early 2010, early 2011, he obviously was very underrated. Mine, and I may get a little bit of flack, but mine is actually Austin Aries. I know, obviously, I've been talking about him a lot, you know, and people will probably be like, oh, I'm just a mark for him. I'm not, but I do think that he is very underrated. I think that his look, really Rick Rude-ish. You know, I used to say Jericho. I'm actually saying Rick Rude for him now. I think that he is really great, and I really like him. I hope that next year he's going to be like my wrestler of the year. But we'll get to that in a moment.
Okay. So the OMG moment of the year, there's two things that I want to bring up. I know we don't like to do two things, but I want to say, first of all, the WWE going with the network. I think that's like a big thing to me. But the second thing
that's to you as an oh my God moment of the year. Like, oh my God,
they're really doing this, you know,
okay.
But now I've changed my tone. But the real thing is actually when the ring broke with Mark Henry and Big Show.
Okay.
The ring collapse was the biggest one for me for many reasons. Also because of what happened the match afterwards, because they wrestled on a broken ring. So I thought that was really neat.
Yeah. Mine is pretty obvious here. CM Punk's promo, his epic promo that he did. It was one of those things where after watching it, I remember calling you and just like, dude, you got to see this. Talking to a friend of the show, Doug, and talking to other people. Our cousin was talking to me on Xbox Live and asked, who is CM Punk and what did he do to cause a stir on Google? Because he was a trending
ESPN
topic, you know?
People wanted him. I mean, yeah. People wanted CM Punk at places. And the thing is, I don't think they capped on it like they should have. I mean, I could have capped on it where they were still doing the feud if it was done properly.
And, you know, that's something we could get into at a different time. I know that much.
Right.
Andy, what is the wrestling industry news of the year?
See, this is where I actually will say, you know, the WWE definitely confirming they're doing the network, but also the CM Punk stuff. I mean, everything that CM Punk did, that was huge.
So for you, that wasn't an OMG moment. That was CM Punk's promo was like, that was wrestling news.
I guess. See, this is the problem that I couldn't figure out. I couldn't figure out if that was the biggest news or if the WWE actually doing a network would be the biggest news. I was kind of conflicted on those because of like what the next of the next few categories. So I'm just going to say the WWE network. That is definitely
that's your biggest news.
That's the biggest news.
That's mine too. You know, I was thinking about it, and the biggest thing that happened in the wrestling world was, you know, talking about doing a network is a pretty big deal. I mean, because you're basically putting it on par with the NFL, with Major League Baseball and NBA, NHL. So that to me is a pretty big deal.
And the other thing also about the networks, NFL, they actually had trouble at first when they were going because they didn't think they were going to do real well. And look at what everyone else has done. I mean, you had NHL announce theirs, and I mean, everyone started doing their own channels. Golf was the first one, I think, if I'm correct. But anyways, the feud of the year, and here's my thing. The feud of the year is CM Punk versus the WWE.
Interesting.
Because even though that happened, I think, in June, according to my blog, theandrewhughes.com, I put the entire transcript up there. And the thing is, that had the most stir of anyone talking. That was the biggest thing. Like you said, everyone talked about it. So the feud of the year, CM Punk versus the WWE.
I have CM Punk versus Cena. And the reason I have Cena down in particular, because I was thinking about Triple H also. You have a really good one just having him against the WWE. The reason I have Cena is because when him and Cena had their little, pissing match, I would say, you know, like with the titles and stuff, like it was just such a cool moment. Their match was really great. I was so invested in what was going on with them. I was so invested in that.
And also when CM Punk actually won it, and you know, talking to Doug, he said that just felt the atmosphere in that building. Everyone knew it. Everyone knew something. They saw something that you'll never see again. And you know, he said even though he spent like a lot of money plus got a chair out of it, he said it was still worth it, and I regret not going now. I would have sat noseably just to be there.
Yeah, so. No, I hear you.
So,
and biggest one, Andy, obviously, is the wrestler of the year. I think we're probably both in agreement here.
Nope.
Who is your wrestler of the year, Andy?
You ready for this? This is big, because this is the first time we're going to use something from TNA, actually. The wrestler of the year is Kurt Angle.
And why is that? That's what I would like.
Here's the thing. I had it down to four. I had Cena, AJ Styles, CM Punk, and Kurt Angle. And I didn't know which one to pick because I was like, those are the wrestlers of the year. CM Punk had the huge feud, but Kurt Angle, everything that he's done for TNA is huge. That's how I look at it. He was the big, you know, CM Punk, technically, that happened only the last 7 months. Kurt Angle, since day one of this year, has been the wrestler of the year. AJ Styles is really, I mean, see, that's the thing. Like, we talk a lot about the WWE, but Kurt Angle, I mean, just the love for the business, you can tell for stuff that he does. Yeah, he may not like or disagree with something, but if he's ticked off and he has to lay down for someone, he'll still lay down for him and put on an excellent match. That's the one thing I can actually say about Kurt Angle. I can say the same thing about CM Punk, because his match with Cena in Chicago was awesome. And Money in the Bank, that was hands down an awesome match.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, we don't do match of the year primarily because
there's so many.
You know, there are so many matches. I mean, to narrow down like between like thousands of matches to one is really hard to do. I would definitely say, like, from what I remember this year, CM Punk versus Cena would be like a match of the year. My wrestler of the year is CM Punk, and it's because of everything that had happened, because he made such a stir. And I, you know, if you would have asked me last year, you know, do you think that you would put CM Punk as, you know, wrestler of the year? I would say no, not at all.
No.
And like the thing is, I'm looking through like our list, and you know, the only other TNA one is, you know, Austin Aries for me, underrated wrestler.
And then, you know,
yeah, Matt Hardy, which, you know, former
TNA. There's stuff from TNA, but the thing is, when I look at some of the WWE stuff, they'll be overshadowed. The only thing that I can, the two things that I could actually say that didn't were the Matt Hardy and Kurt Angle stuff. I mean, that's really the only two things. I mean, the Jeff Hardy DVD they released, it was pretty good, but True Story WrestleMania, dude, I can't even tell you how many times I watched that. I thought it was so good. And the top 50, by the way, I only watched it once, but yeah, that was a good one. So,
well, those are always fun to do. I would say the other thing, too, is that WWE puts on 4 hours that we watch of programming, and then, you know, TNA puts on two. Sometimes WWE puts on 5 hours because they have 3 hour Raws, right? And then they have pay per views 13 times a year, sometimes 14 times a year, just kind of depends. So, you know, they're going to be in the spotlight a little bit more. You know, last year, actually, mine was mostly TNA stuff. This year, it's mostly WWE. I really hope that next year, you know, we see some really great TNA moments. And, you know, this is a topic list that we'll definitely build, you know, for next year. So I'm looking forward to the 2012 awards already.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And if you have any comments or things you want to say about it, you know, just hit us up on from the Twitter, of course, at OffTheMark86. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you are into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank A6 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.